happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
And hello.
Hello.
To you.
Are we doing husky?
I was trying it. Do you don't okay. like it? Okay, yeah. I think maybe let's just leave it for me to do and you don't have
Why?
To.
Am I not good at it?
No, yes, that's correct. No. What you've okay. said is right. Hello.
Hello. It's as husky as I can get.
We're swoon daddies.
We're the swoon daddies
I'm trying
today.
To make that happen. I'm trying to make yeah. that happen. It's a swoon daddies today. The swoon daddies are back.
The Swoon Daddies here, the famous swing revival group from the late 90s.
No, see, don't put that
in our big zoot suits, our big yellow zoot suits.
If you put that wang on it, it's going to hold us back because people are going to associate us with that. It doesn't have to be that.
No, that's what I think of. So,
okay.
Hello, cool cats, 32 skidoo.
No, please don't.
Zippo lighters.
That was the last time. I think that Big was band. The last time, and it'll go down in history books. It was the last time that
you felt happy.
We were agreed as a culture. Everyone was like,
"Yeah." Well, it was the Gap commercials.
Everyone was like, "You know what? This, yes,
they're
this.
The great equalizers." You know,
Swingers is a great movie. Cherry Pop and Daddies is fun. The Gap
great
commercials
band
are
name.
Great. I'm yep. taking swing dance classes. We finally united, and that was the last time everyone was agreed. And then yep. and part of it is because everyone. Pretty quickly after that was like, what the fuck was that? That was weird.
And then everyone got the dang internet, and then all they were concerned about was memes.
Yeah,
you know?
And then it was memes, and yeah, and I'm trying to think of a meme.
David goes to the dentist, and everyone's like, oh, I think it's bad. Yeah. And everyone else is like, I think it's good. And yeah. then 10 years later, Donald Trump's elected president.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Gap.
This isn't a history podcast. We're the Swoon Daddies. We're the big Swoon Daddies. My name's Swoon Daddy Jack.
My name is...
Yeah, it is kind of swingy, isn't it?
Bebop, Rattle Pop, Skidoo, okay. And I'm a greaser, and
okay,
I wear a big zoot suit.
I will stop with Swoon Daddies. Yeah. It's not going to happen. It's okay. Cancel the merch.
Okay.
And we're a couple guys, a couple dads, and we talk about books, but it's horny books mostly. And today we did a special one. We did a special one.
In what way was it special?
Because it's from the biggest show.
Oh, right. We did a show, except we did the book version of it.
Yeah, we did the book version of it. And it's
season 2.
And
we did the second book. Yeah. So we can lord it over people when the second season comes out. We can be like, I know what happens, actually.
Is it out? Is it not out?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You want me to look it up?
When? Not really.
Does
no, I guess not.
Bridgerton season 2 come out? March 25th. We're getting this one right under the wire.
Okay, perfect.
So, spoilies for anyone yeah. who's excited to watch Bridgerton
perfect.
Season 2.
Yeah, great.
On March 25th. Got some spoilies
it.
For you.
We absolutely crushed this, didn't we? We did a great yep. job. Perfect. I mean, I don't know how based on it is. I mean, I guess like the spoiler is like they do get together.
Well, it's a romance. Everyone knows they get together, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the rules.
We read a novel. It's called The Viscount Who Loved Me.
Right, yes.
By Julia Quinn.
It's following the Austin Powers naming convention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The first Bridgerton was The Spy Who Shagged Me.
It was The Viscount Who Shagged Me.
Yeah. What was Austin Powers 3 called? Goldmember, of course. God, why would I not remember that? So I assume Bridgerton yeah. book 3 is called something along those lines, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It was good. We enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, but it's about this kind of broody duty. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I like broody duty.
And his name is Anthony Bridgerton.
He's the eldest Bridgerton boy. Bridgerton boy.
And he's fucked up.
Is he?
Yeah, he's fucked up.
He's a rake.
He's a rake. Yeah. But it's okay in the logic of the book. because he is only rakish towards
women.
No, like lower class women.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not like,
and therefore
not,
it's excused.
Like people in his social class, but who would never have a chance of aspiring to be married to him. So it's right. very clear
it's
that
like it's laughable. The even the idea of it.
So it's okay. So we can like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's also about a lady, and her name is Kate.
Kate
something.
Sheffield.
Yes. And she is, she's also broken a little bit.
She's broken a little bit because she's too old. Oh. Who wants to date her?
No, that's not really the thrust.
Sheffield. Did I say Sheffield earlier?
I don't know, man.
She, well, it's Sheffield.
She's broken because she, well, Tanner's point is was possibly exaggerated. She has a younger sister who's,
a beauty. Like, so attractive.
The most not attractive.
So old and gross.
What is this?
That, what do you mean?
That you're doing?
That's what how they describe her throughout the book.
She's very beautiful, but just like
she's
not
seconds away from being like a, what do you call it? A spinstress. Yeah. No,
that's not
is that
really
what you call it. And she's got this beautiful younger sister. You yeah. should see.
I think they're only like 4 years apart.
You should see. Starts with an E.
Edwina.
Can we find it? Edwina.
Yeah, she's a babe. And so let's. I guess we'll. Should we say the book?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. Here's the situation. Edwina is very eligible and beautiful, but she's not super rich. And
no. And she has a mother and a sister to take care of.
Viscount.
She needs to marry rich.
Anthony Bridgerton of the famed Bridgerton family is, yep. What's going on with him? Well, his daddy died.
Sure, but he's like an adult man. He's
but
like
it's important.
30s.
It's the novel starts with that. His and his daddy was a very loving man.
His daddy died doing what he loves.
Getting stung by bees.
Oh, I thought he died doing it.
No. Where did you get that from? It's like very famous in this book. That he
Anthony says he walks into his bedroom one morning to find him, find that his father had expired in bed. You know what you do in bed. You don't get stung by bees in bed. Certainly not.
I hope not.
So I think his mom just told Anthony, like, oh, your father died of a bee sting. And Anthony's like, he's been stung by a bee a million times before. Which that was also true.
Yeah, Julia Quinn has a note at the end of this book. Did you see it?
No.
She was like, a lot of people will see that I said that he did get stung by a bee like before he got stung by a bee and died, and actually that's really common.
You know what else is common? Old people dying when they're doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Their tickers just can't hold on to it.
His
you
daddy
know?
Died unexpectedly, and the result of it.
In the boudoir.
Okay, fine. But it's he got migraled. Should we say what we think
Jesus.
My Girl is about?
Sounds like you and I have a totally different understanding of what My Girl is about. Because I thought she ate a blackberry or something.
She eats a blackberry? I haven't seen it.
I might
it.
Be thinking of a book.
Okay. I think
Maybe
My
called
Girl...
Where the black Wild Blackberries Grow?
Oh, yeah. We've had this conversation before.
I've never seen My Girl. I don't think they die in the boudoir.
No, okay, fine. But he gets migraled, and the effect of that is that the Viscount Anthony Bridgerton is can't love, doesn't want to love, can't love anymore.
He won't love because he's going to die too.
Because he's going to die too. He's somewhat unreflective about this kind of stupid idea.
Yeah.
He's like, yep.
I loved his daddy.
He's like, I'm definitely going to die at the same age that my dad died.
Right.
Which is 39. And therefore, so which is already a logical leap that doesn't really hold up under any kind of scrutiny.
Which he recognizes.
Yeah.
He says that. He knows it's irrational.
But then his leap from that is, therefore, I can't allow myself to love.
Right. Yes, of course.
Which
I'll
also
just be...
Because then what?
Leaving a widow behind. A rich widow.
That seems like it's not a problem. Like, it seems like the problem would be you can't allow yourself to be loved. I would understand that. Like, if you thought you were going to die, I could understand being like, I can't let anyone get too close to me because I don't want to hurt them. But it's
yeah,
weird
I think
like,
that's what he means, because he means kids, presumably, right?
No.
Well, he wants kids.
He wants to have kids.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't, because he's worried he's going to die.
He does want to have kids in this.
I know,
he specifically talks about it.
I can't argue with you right now. You're too hot-headed.
I'm just correcting you on some like really basics of this novel.
You're too hot-headed right okay. now. I can't have this conversation with
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. But so that's the issue. He is afraid to love, and he's courting. He's like, I'll court and marry this Edwina woman. She's like the eligible debutante, and that's a good match. And I don't like her that much.
Yeah.
So that's
which is
perfect.
By design.
Because there's no danger of me falling in love with her.
Right.
But she's very close with her sister, Kate, and Kate and Lord Bridgerton have this big animosity because Kate is like, well, stop courting my sister. You're a notorious rake. And of course, that animosity turns into an attraction that neither of them can admit to themselves.
Yeah.
But a problem does happen that due to Lord Bridgerton's fear of bees, he has like a big freak out attack when a bee comes into the house and actually causes the bee, because of his freak out, to do a big sting on Kate adjacent to her. What is it that the lady says? The lady says in this? Bubbies. I don't say it. She says it. I don't say
it.
She says it.
I'm on her bubbies. And then he's caught.
And then he's like, because he's panicked about, he's like, you know, it's before science. So he's like, a bee sting killed my dad. Bees are poisonous. And so he attempts to suck the poison
actually,
out.
this is my segment that I've developed.
Okay, great.
Can I do a segment? Or would that be disruptive?
Why don't I just say, can I say one sentence?
I can't
sentence?
Talk to you when you're like this.
Can I say one sentence and then let you do your segment? I'm sorry I'm so hot-headed today.
Yeah.
The sentence I want to say...
Flying off the handle.
The sentence I want to say is that he is seen attempting to suck the... to platonically suck the poison from her bubbies.
Yes.
And again, it's not me who says this. It's from the book.
It's not Jack who says that, but Jack does say that.
Yeah.
He's not saying it now. It's the book that said it. But Jack does say that. He calls breasts bubbies.
I don't. That's what I'm. That's my disclaimer. Is I don't.
Yeah. No. No. You're not doing it now.
Okay. But.
But I know you. We've known each other a long time. We recorded a romance podcast together.
Yeah.
I've heard you say.
Yeah.
Exclusively referred to
boobies. I've
as
cut around
bubbies.
It every time, but this time I couldn't. It's been said
he does
too
a lot
much.
Of pickup.
And now you
records.
All know. Yeah. Why? Why would I talk like that? He's seen in the act, and then everyone's like, well, you've been caught doing something compromising, so you have to get married.
Yeah, he has, and that's my segment that I've developed.
Yeah, okay, great.
It's a hot new segment. It's called Freak of the Week.
Okay, Freak of the Week.
And you know us, Jack. We are two highly repressed, yet progressive, sex-positive men who are simultaneously afraid of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And very warm and open about it.
Yeah.
So when I say Freak of the Week, I mean, this is a celebration.
Okay. Oh, good.
This is a celebration of some
Look at
truly
your freak
kinky
on,
stuff.
That type of language. Get your freak on.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I'm going to read this passage here.
Okay.
And we'll just, you know, we'll talk about how Anthony's kind of Freak of the Week.
Okay, perfect.
It seemed unfathomable, and yet it was true. He shook his head. It's not good enough, he said hoarsely. I have to get it all out.
Okay.
Anthony, what are you doing? He tipped her chin back and his head was closing the distance between them, almost as if he meant to kiss her. I'm going to have to suck the venom out, he said grimly.
Uh-oh.
Just hold still. Anthony, she shrieked. You can't, she gasped, completely unable to finish her sentence once she felt his lips settling on her skin. Applying a gentle yet inexorable pressure, pulling her into his mouth. Kate didn't know how to respond, didn't know whether to push him away or pull him towards her. But in the end, she just froze. Because when she lifted her head and looked over his shoulder, she saw a group of three women staring at him with equal expressions of shock.
And that's part of it.
That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He does this sort of like, I guess it's role-playing, right?
Yeah.
Where, and I guess it's a little complicated because it's all sort of mixed up in these like feelings of his dad's death.
Inadequacy and the inability to live up to his father's legacy. Yeah.
Or save his father, you know?
I think these things always ultimately come down to that anyway.
And that's that just gets him so flared up.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. That pulls his, what do you call it on a snowblower or a chainsaw? Ripcord.
Okay.
That pulls his ripcord.
Yeah.
Hard.
That's what it's called on a parachute, but yeah.
What's it called on this?
I don't know. I guess I didn't want to go back to it, but I had to correct you.
I'll look it up.
No, please.
If you want to talk.
No, please. Yanks his chain. How about that?
Yeah, that really yanks his chain. Yeah. But not all the way. He can't finish unless three women are watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Highly relatable.
That's why Anthony Bridgerton is this week's
Freak of the Week. Yeah. And that's, woo. And I guess it is kind of sexy.
I mean, not for me, but more power to him if this is how he does it.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell him that's the wrong way to do it. You know, for all I know, I'm not doing it the right way.
That's possible. Yeah.
I mean, I did have a baby.
Yeah, so you must be doing something.
So I at least got that far.
But. Yeah. And you didn't have three older society women watching?
No, we did.
Okay, yeah.
Have you seen Midsommar?
No, but I feel like I've had it described to me a bunch of times. I don't know why. Yeah. People like to describe Midsommar to one.
There's a scene where a couple has sex and they're sort of surrounded by sort of a ring of naked older ladies.
Oh, classic.
Encouraging them
classic.
And like pawing at them. Yeah, and that's how Jamie and
we
I
did
do
that.
It.
We did that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's our Freak of the Week, folks. And we mean it in a very positive way. Freak of the Week, like get your freak on. It's fun. It's a little bit sexy. It's a little bit weird. It comes down to some deep repressed trauma, I think, is where it comes out of.
For us?
No, for him, for Anthony.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bees, okay. Man. He got my girl. He got my girl. His daddy got my girl.
His daddy got my girl, and that still gets him fired up, I guess. Well, and then, like, did his dad get my girl? Did his dad die in the act of lovemaking? The book won't go into it.
May I introduce a segment?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, my favorite thing about this novel.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to come up in book three, because the epilogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Is each chapter starts with a little excerpt from something called Lady Whistledown's Society Papers. And she's a gossip, and she writes a gossip rag. And she's fun. It's like scurrilous, but fun. It's like sarcastic. And
yeah, it's Gossip Girl, XOXO.
It's literally Gossip Girl, XOXO. And the end of the book is like, oh, who is it? She's cute, and maybe she's going to be
she's
the
fair
star
and
of the
young
next
and
book.
Lives near Kate and Anthony.
Who could it be?
Yeah.
So I'll read you a passage from one just so folks can get a flavor of it.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I thought that we could write our own.
Okay.
Okay, but let me read you one so you get a sense of it. At the Hartside Ball Wednesday night, Viscount Bridgerton was seen dancing with more than one eligible young lady. This behavior can be termed startling, as Bridgerton normally avoids proper young misses with a perseverance that would be impressive, were it not so utterly frustrating to all marriage-minded mamas. Can it be that the Viscount read this author's most recent column and, in that perverse manner all males of the species seem to endorse, decided to prove this author wrong? It may seem that this author is ascribing to herself far more importance than she actually wields. But men have certainly made decisions based on far, far less.
Yeah.
So that's the type of shit Lady Whistledown is fucking putting down, and everybody's eating it up.
A little saucy, a little biting.
Yeah, a little biting. And so here's a hit segment that's called...
It's new?
It's a new segment? It's a new hit segment.
New hit segment.
New hit segment. It's called, Tell Me About Your Day, and I'll write a scurrilous gossip column about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess I'm committing to it. Give me some beats of what your day was about, and then during the break, I'll throw together a little lady. What do you want to call me?
What's her name? Whistlebottom?
Whistledown.
Whistledown. Well, bottom's got to be in yours.
Okay. Thistlebottom.
How about Ticklebottom? Mm.
Lady Ticklebottoms.
Yeah. So I, it was a snow, it was like a hail, a sleet storm in Connecticut this morning. So our sitter couldn't come. And Miles is home from school for midwinter break. So it was a lot of childcare. I took care of Miles until noon, and then I had to go to a meeting and get to work. Had a couple of meetings for the contract job that I'm doing right now. Met some interns, like a group of nice young women, college students.
Okay.
Kind of gave them some background information on the thing. And then I edited an episode of Experience Share, a Pokemon podcast starring Jack Shepard, or starring Tanner Greenring and Josh Fielstead. I said your name instead of mine.
I know. That's really fucking weird, man. Edit Pokemon podcast. Okay, that seems like enough. Great. We'll come back to that after the break.
Oh, okay. And it's break time now?
No. No, we got plenty. Oh.
What about you? What was your day?
You're going to write a scandalous gossip column about me during the break?
No.
Okay. So you're just asking?
Yeah.
I read this book.
Okay.
I got up at 5.
For fun?
No, to spell Sarah so she could sleep while someone watched the baby. He's like snuffling and snorfling a lot.
Yeah. Teach him some fucking manners.
And then I read this book. I listened to it at 2.5 speed.
Oh, that's too fast. That's too fast.
On the audiobook so I could like also do dishes and clean the house.
You know that's too fast, right? Did you get any of it?
I got all of it.
And God, no wonder you're getting the details wrong.
I can't talk to you when you're hot-headed like this.
All right, so I'm not going to write anything about it, so...
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
As much as I do care, we should probably move on.
It looked like you were writing stuff down.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
That's for personal use.
So let's move on. We've basically said the book. I maybe like won't spoil it too hard since it's...
They get together. Jesus Christ, have you never read a book? No, I think there's one big plot point that you... It's kind of a huge plot point that they get married.
They do a romance novel trope thing where they like get married, but it's like, okay, this is actually
but
a
they
segment.
They both pledge to not
love talk to you
one
about
another.
This. They pledge. Yeah. Well, no, he pledges. He's like, I'll never love you because of this thing. But right. Like, don't worry. Like, we'll be friends. We like each other. And like, we'll like, fuck.
Yeah.
And she's like, awesome. Thanks, dude. Fucking yeah. My, there goes my hero. But like, this is a segment. New segment.
Oh, okay.
So I've come up with a concept that's a romance novel trope.
Okay.
Right now, I'm tentatively calling it the love striptease.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
You like it?
I don't know yet.
Okay, well I'll say
does it
what
involve
it is.
Us stripteasing? Because then, no, I don't like it.
No, it's not us. Okay. What I'll say is this, is that it happens with enough frequency in romance novels that I've identified it as a trope. And for folks who are, like, deeply familiar with the genre, I guess apologies if I'm, like, talking about a thing that everybody fucking already knows and there's a name for, which may well be the case.
That should be a segment too. It should be called Jack Mansplains Romance to Romance
to
Fans.
People, yeah. I think that's just the name of the fucking show. I'm calling it the love striptease, where it's like the thing that's going on is like the fucking and the stripping isn't the real striptease. The real striptease, metaphorical, that's happening throughout this novel is love. Like, little bit, like, slowly throughout the novel, more and more defenses are being stripped from our protagonist until eventually we get the payoff of him realizing that he's in love.
Okay.
Are you following this as a metaphor?
Yeah, and how is it a striptease?
Okay.
So it's not about stripping off clothes.
Yes, good. It's
okay.
About
it's about stripping off skin. Like,
no, it's not skin.
In Hellraiser.
No, it's not like that. No, we don't need another metaphor to explain this metaphor, I think, and especially not one from Hellraiser.
No, let me take a run at this.
Okay. Do you get it?
Yes.
Okay, so the segment is Jack and Tanner, obnoxious academics.
Okay, well, I'm not an obnoxious academic.
Well, we have to be. You have
you
to.
You can be.
You have okay. to for okay. this.
Can I be your, like, plucky student?
Sure.
Okay.
But we need to come up with a name for this concept that sounds like we could publish a paper on it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
love
yeah.
striptease isn't good enough.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You hear what
do
I'm
we
saying?
Want it to be sexy? Should we pull in the branding consultants? Or
I don't.
Do
I
we
think,
want it to be? We want it to be academic.
I want it to be academic.
Okay.
No bad ideas in the ideation stage, but I think if it's too sexy, it's not going to get a publisher.
Tearing down walls.
Tearing down walls.
balls to the wall.
Okay.
Just free associating here.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Hoping something clicks. Ball torture.
Okay, I think you've pushed too far with your free association.
Okay. I'm like a bolt of lightning, you know, just crackling through the air, sending off little arms, trying to find something to strike.
What we want to do is take all, we're academics, so we want to take all of the fun out of it.
Okay, right.
Like, we're going in the opposite direction. Like, your instinct to, like, try to find something in ball torture was exactly wrong.
Okay.
Like, this concept
too, that's too exciting for you.
And love
that excites you too much
is too exciting. We're the opposite of horny Jack and horny Tanner branding consultants.
I'm doing a Google search now for annoying pedantic thesaurus.
Okay,
I want a thesaurus that tells me, like, how can I say this in, like, the most obnoxious way possible.
Yeah,
you know.
So we could find some synonyms for love and striptease. Like, what's a synonym for stripping that's, like, particularly obnoxious? Like, de-vestification. That's pretty good. I mean, I maybe made that word up.
There's
got to
be, like, some other word for clothes that's even more...
What about disvestment? I think disvestment is going to be good. Yes.
That's a word, too. No, it's not. Disinvestment.
Well, I think we can make up a word. That's fine. Disvestment, because it's, like, vestment is clothing.
Right, okay. Chasuble... or other robe worn by the clergy or choristers during services. Jesus, did Google just make up half the words in this definition? A chasuble worn by choristers? What is this, Dr. Seuss?
Okay, I want to use the word, it's choristers. I want to use the word occlusive.
Okay.
So what about occlusive, which means kind of like secretive or blocking off? Occlusive amorous disvestment.
Yeah, I like that.
And then we can write a fucking thesis about it.
And then we write a paper, yeah. Well, I won't. I'll do some of the, like, research, you know.
What are you? You're my, like, saucy
plucky student.
Do you have a...
You're sort of this boring academic. You're, like, stuffy. You've got the mortarboard on. Your robes.
I don't think they wear the mortarboard.
And I'm, like, in, you know, zoot suit. I've got the big hat on. It's got the big feather coming out of it. It's bright yellow. It's huge. I look like David Byrne.
Incremental. Occlusive was wrong. Incremental amorous disvestment.
Can we find a more obscure word way to say incremental?
Try it.
I like incremental. I like how many syllables it is.
I know what it means. Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I need like an SAT word that, like, I would pretend to know if someone said it, but later would go look it up. How many syllables was that?
Oh, what about decrescent?
Decrescent is pretty good.
Or increscent.
But that's too...
Increscent means progressive. So
yes,
increscent,
let's do that.
Increscent amorous disvestment, which is disvestment is a word we've made up, and so we can really own it. And that's a very specific term that academics are free to use for the
thing... God, this is like the opposite of two lewd branding consultants.
Yeah, that's why I love it. The thing where... The payoff in a romance novel is the person slowly pulling down their boundaries until eventually they admit their feeling of love.
Right.
What did I say it's called? Increscent.
Increscent amorous disvestment.
Fucking rules. God,
yeah.
I love this segment.
That's
Can we
good.
Spend the rest of the episode on it? I love this.
And we got
That's
this one.
So
though.
Good.
We got that one in one. I don't think we need to do any more work on that one.
Okay. Do you want to take a quick break and come back and I'll read you your gossip column?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still... pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Tanner, guess what? I just got back from the magazine stand, and I picked up a copy that fresh off the presses, hot off the presses, of the latest gossip rag from Lady Ticklebottom.
Okay. It was like a five-minute break.
I know, but I ran out.
You left your house?
There's a guy on the corner.
Okay.
I always do that during the break as I run out and I get the gossip rags, but I normally don't talk about it because it's not always good for the show. But in this case,
not polite.
It was a very titillating and quite scandalous.
Was it?
Yes.
Was it a blind item?
It said a name.
Oh!
Yeah.
Sure, it's someone very sexy.
Well, you're going to be surprised. Would you like to hear it?
This
shocked
daddy.
Me to my core.
Yeah.
This is Lady Ticklebottom's latest little missive, and it's got the whole town talking. During the Connecticut sleet storm Friday night, Mr. Greenring was seen cavorting quite gleefully with a tittering trio of young misses from the internship program. This behavior is thrown into an even more nefarious light when one considers that his sitter, until now quite reliable, has gone mysteriously missing. This author would never take it upon herself to cast suspicion where none is due, but she has it on good authority that Mr. Greenring's young son was with him until noon, but not beyond, giving him the afternoon free for whatever dalliances might occur to him, including, we are told on good authority, one with a society lady called Smoochum.
Oh, the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what that is? There's a
Smoochum?
Pokemon. There's a Pokemon called Smoochum. I didn't know. I don't know Pokemon.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
It's got big smoochy lips. It's also the pre-evolution of Jinx.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Care to comment?
Not my first choice.
Yeah.
For the Pokemon that I would smooch.
Yeah. That was all true, though, wasn't it, Tanner?
I mean, it was phrased in a way that made it sound salacious. And it was a fairly mundane day of childcare and work.
But it was all true, not a word wrong.
No, technically not a word wrong. No, that's accurate.
Mm. I'm good at this. I should make a career of it.
Oh, XOXO Gossip Girl. And
XOXO Gossip Girl. It was me all along. I was the Gossip Girl XOXO. And it was me.
Jesus Christ, man. You're not supposed to reveal it that quickly.
From what you told me. I revealed it from what you told me about your day.
Gossip Girl lasted like 6 seasons. We could have milked that.
Do you want to do a very quick segment? It's your segment. Yeah. But it's called... Welcome to my red room.
Oh, yes. Welcome to my naughty red room.
And welcome to my naughty red room.
It's the segment of the show where we describe where we were, what we were doing, and what form our red room took this week.
Yeah, our sexy red room. What happened when sexy, steamy part of the book. I've caught Tanner's disease and now I listen often to the book. I do this thing where it's kind of cool. You can get the audiobook and
it'll switch back and forth between your Kindle and the audio. So if you're like done reading, you can just put it on headphones and then it'll go back to the book.
Right.
Which is cool. But I did more audio than reading because I had a lot of stuff to do that I needed to not be sitting in front of a computer for today. And when I got to the sexy part, this is my red room. This is the sexy part. I had just, I was going for a walk,
mm-hmm.
to get some fresh air, and I got to the big red light that I always wait at, that it takes for a fucking ever during my walk.
Yeah.
And a number of people also arrived at the red light with me, and we were all...
How horny were they? Just baseline.
I think they were as horny as me.
Okay.
And we were all kind of standing together, and they were chatting, and we were doing the standard thing of like looking at each other and like rolling our eyes at like, God, it takes so long for this red light. Everyone was waiting for it. And what none of them could have known, none of them,
is that you were so fired up.
No, was that at the moment that I was like, you know, interacting with them in a low level way, what was happening in my ears was this.
He lowered his head to her breast and took her into his mouth, tasting, sucking, teasing, reveling in each gasp he heard spill forth from her lips, each spasm of desire he felt shivering across her body. He loved that she reacted this way, thrilled that he did this to her. So good, he murmured, his breath hot and moist against her skin. You taste so damn good. She made a soft little moaning sound, the sort that came from the very bottom of one's throat. Her body arched under his ministrations, and with renewed fervor, he teased her nipple, grazing it gently between his teeth. Oh my, oh Anthony!
Right. And it was at 2.5 x speed.
And I was very hyper aware of it, because I was like, these people, if these people could hear this, like, it sounds like, I like engaged the micro machine man to like talk dirty to me.
Yeah.
I'm just like standing.
He's on Cameo. He's on Cameo.
It's, I was like, if they could know what's happening in my brain, they'll be like if you told them that I was listening to like an extremely erotic suckling scene.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's weird. This guy is just like a fucking dadly dude. Waiting at the light, he just smiled at me, and he's got like his winter hat on and gloves, and he's like huddled up against the cold.
Yeah.
And if you were like, "Hey, guess what? He's listening to it's a suckling scene." They'd be like, weird.
"I think that's fine, though." You just like, yeah. You just go like, "It's just a suckling scene. There's no penetration."
But if then they could, like, they'd be like, "Oh, I want to hear this," and it's the fucking micro machines.
They would think you're a certified
fuck is wrong
lunatic. I'm listening to a suckling smut at lightning speed.
Yeah.
While I'm on my constitutional.
Suckling smut. So that was my red room this week.
Ugh. My red room has been pretty boring lately. It's mostly just sitting on the couch playing video games.
That's sexy in its own way.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a name generator with me?
Yes, please.
Good. And it's this. Ready? And it's for us. Yep. And here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. If we get a good one out of it, we can use it for our hit romance novel, Love in the Time of Horses. We can just give this, what we generate, to our characters. Okay, the name generator is this. It's what is your... romantic phobia backstory.
Okay, yes. So both Kate and Anthony have their phobias that are, I guess, somewhat tied into their sort of like sexual preferences.
Yeah.
She can only finish during a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
He can only finish if he's during like sucking the bee venom out of. Yeah.
Somebody's got to get my girl.
Yeah. So, and then it's revealed that, of course, like his father died of a bee sting, I guess.
Yeah.
And then... her mother
died during a thunderstorm.
During a big thunderstorm, the worst.
She's terrified. We haven't hit this hard enough. She's absolutely petrified of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
She's normally very strong-willed and self-sufficient, but fucking hint of thunder or lightning, and she is cowering. They spend a lot of time meeting under tables in this novel.
Yeah. That's also part of their. That's
part of their thing. Kinks. That's a freak of the week.
That's freak of the week.
But it turns out it was because her mommy died in a thunderstorm. And I don't mean to say that dismissively. That sucks if that happens. I mean, like, it sucks just generally. The thunderstorm doesn't make it suck more or less.
Right. I think if anything, the thunderstorm probably, like, fits the mood. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't want your mommy to die on, like, a beautiful sunny day, right?
Yeah, with like surf music playing or something. You know? It's like the Beach Boys in the background.
Yeah.
That would be bad. Ruin the Beach Boys. So like thunderstorms are already kind of scary and dark, you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of
I was watching Veep when my cat died a few years ago, and I still can't watch Veep.
I want to laugh, but it's not so sad.
It's fine.
Oh, that's brutal, man.
Fuck, I have no idea how it ends.
You fucked
Is
up
she still the Veep
for me?
I'll never know.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh. Raise your hand if you just laughed at Tanner telling you about how his cat died.
Yeah, my beloved cat.
Yeah.
Bull.
But I haven't got an algorithm for this, but I think it's going to be useful and we can use it. Like, this will be RIP. But the way that it works is this, right? I'm afraid of blank because my blank blanked in a blank.
I'm afraid of blank.
Yeah, because my blank blanked in a blank.
Okay.
That's the story that we can tell, and then we can give it to we. Maybe if we each do one, we can give one each to our characters from the romance novel we're working on, and that could just be like a thing that they carry with them.
Okay, yeah, it sort of informs their character,
and it's like, oh shit, oh yeah, Pud is afraid of blank because her blank blanked in a blank.
Right. Okay. And how do we? And you don't have any thoughts about how we generate it?
I didn't write an algorithm. I have got nothing further. But like,
I'm afraid of blank.
I'm afraid of so a kind of thing, right?
So I'm going to go to list of common phobias. Here we go. Verywellmind.com. List of common phobias from A to Z. I'm going to go down to T because my first name starts with T.
Great. And I'm going to go down to J. That's great.
This is verywellmind.com/list-of-phobias-279-5453.
So I don't have a J as usual with these things, so I'm just going to pick the closest thing, which is an I. And so I have iatrophobia, which means that you are afraid of doctors. So I'm afraid of doctors.
Okay.
And what is your
There's
T?
There's five options for T, so I'm going to go with the month I was born in. And if you're playing along at home and there aren't enough options for the month you were born in, you're not welcome to play.
Perfect.
Mine is tachophobia, the fear of speed.
Okay, great.
And that's from Top Gun.
Okay, so you're afraid of speed. I'm afraid of doctors. This is great. Okay, and so because my blank, and this should be like a person or a pet or an animal, like some kind of a figure, a public figure of some kind.
Yeah, okay, got
like it. Like someone who could be related to you.
A known person who I care deeply for, or animal.
So should we go to like list of pets?
Oh, I've got mine. I just filled it in.
Okay, what is it?
I feel very confident.
Yeah.
No, I'll let you know when I'm done with my algo. With my
How do I
generator.
Do mine?
Think of someone, just close your eyes for a moment.
Okay.
And search your heart and think of someone who you would be very sad to lose.
Okay.
Be one of your sons, one of your wife maybe, your parents.
A person? It's
or an animal.
Or an animal.
Could be your cats. Could be a celebrity you love.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay.
Okay.
That one requires, that's a higher barrier to entry because that requires a little self-reflection, you know?
And then we need a verb, like a type of thing that could happen to someone that's probably bad.
Oh, there's a TV show on Spike TV called Worst Ways to Die.
Okay.
Yeah, Worst Ways to Die show. Well, 1,000 Ways to Die was the name of the show. It was on Spike TV. Why don't we just look up the ways the people died on that show?
Okay.
Here we go. List of deaths. 1,000 ways to die.
Okay. So we're on a Wikipedia?
We're on listofdeaths.fandom.com/wiki/1,000_ways_2_die.
Okay.
It seemed like there was six seasons of this. So I guess if you're born January, February, March, April, May, June. Mm-hmm. You've got yours figured out. And if you're born July through December, you're not invited to participate.
Okay.
Or you can just, you know, start the counter back over at 1 for July.
So it's the list, right?
But I'd really prefer you didn't.
So wait, what do we do?
Well, there's 6 seasons. So you take the month you're born in, and you count up to the season. And if you get to July, you can start back over at 1.
Well, so we're going to have the same thing, right?
Not necessarily, because once we're in the season, then we count down to something, because there's 12 episodes in a season.
Okay, so I'm in season one.
I'm in season one as well.
Because it's January.
And then we'll count, I guess just count down to your birthday.
Okay.
And it, again, like if there's not enough, just start over at the top and keep counting. And then it looks like there's a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Mine has 5 segments within the episode.
I've got it.
So you're going to have to pick one of those.
Okay. So I've got mine. This actually works with my premise. And then I just need, have you got yours?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase it to work with the Mad Libs you set up.
We just need an event now after this. So actually, if you just Google interesting events, Google will autofill like events near you. So you can just pick the first one.
Why are we doing events?
Because we need to know it's, I'm afraid of blank because my blank blanked in a blank.
Oh, right.
Like she's afraid of thunder because her mother died during a storm.
Okay.
So I've got mine.
Events near me.
If you just say interesting events, weirdly, Google is like, oh, I know what you want. And it'll populate a little calendar and you can just pick the top one.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to, yeah. Okay. I'm ready to.
Shall I start?
Yep.
Do you want to be the shrink for me?
Yeah. Hello, Jack. Please come in. We're going to be doing some psychosexual explorations of your traumas today. And I think what we're going to do is a statement of intent.
Okay.
And then we can build a treatment plan around it. So why don't you tell me, in your own words, what you're afraid of?
Okay.
Why you're afraid of it and where the trauma happened.
I got a weird one.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
Let's love ourselves. Let's treat ourselves with respect. Let's treat ourselves with love. Okay. Nothing we're saying is weird. We all deserve love. We all deserve happiness.
Okay. This one, people, when I've told people in the past about this one, they've said it's weird.
you can't listen to what other people say. You're on your own journey here.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You know doctors?
I've heard of them, yeah. I'm a doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got the fucking heebie-jeebies about you.
Okay.
I see a doctor, I'm under a fucking table. I need a Viscount to come and comfort me.
Yeah, I need a Vic Din.
I smell a fucking doctor.
Yeah.
I'm calling for the nearest Viscount. Emotionally distant, but secretly loving Viscount to come and rub my fucking shoulders.
No, I know. And that's why we keep support Viscounts in the office.
Okay. Well, I need one.
Yeah.
Right now. Because I am fucking terrified of doctors. But it's not.
Lord Shrewsbury. Lord Shrewsbury, will you come in here, please? Yeah.
Rub my back, he's on Lord his way. Shrewsbury. Yeah. I'm freaked, man. And
yeah,
doctors freak me out, but it's not irrational. It's because of a thing that happened.
Okay. Of course. Yeah. Let's get to the center of this trauma.
And I think I know what it is.
I'm surprised you're so lucid.
Yeah. I've done a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how famous actor and beloved American hero Paul Rudd died when he swallowed a tapeworm?
Yeah, I remember that. That was America's Darkest Day.
Yeah.
And Elton John redid Candle in the Wind.
Tapeworm inside him.
And we lived our life like a tapeworm inside him.
Yeah. I'm freaking out now.
Sorry.
So that fucked me up more than it did most people. And the fact that it happened at a historical fashion show.
Oh, right. I know. Like insult to injury, right?
I can never go to one of those things. And there's actually one happening near me this week that I would love to go to.
You're in crisis. This is why you're in crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's my trauma.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you've lived through this.
Yeah. That's the name of a whole album.
An entire album?
Yeah, called Live Through This.
They named the whole thing Live Through This?
Yeah, that's called that. That's the whole album.
The entire thing?
You don't have to dwell on it. I just had to say it.
All right. Do you want to be my therapist now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Greenling.
Can you be German?
Mr. Greenling. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to our mindfulness retreat.
Thank you. doctor.
I'm here to help you work through your trauma.
Yeah.
So that you can... I'm Dutch, I think.
That's fine. Close enough.
So that you can come out of this retreat feeling better about yourself. First of all, does anything frighten you?
Yes.
Okay. And anything specific?
Yeah, I've got a fear.
Oh, a very specific fear.
A fear of speed.
Yeah. You're afraid?
A fear for speed.
Okay.
Sorry, I misquoted. Is it? Does he say that in Top Gun or Days of Thunder?
A need for speed.
I got a need for speed.
I think that's Days of Thunder.
Okay.
So you're like a reverse Days of Thunder.
Yeah, I've got a fear.
You can't watch the Fast and Furious movies. Horrifying.
But I can't. But I can't stay away from them either.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. And what? So, let's get to the bottom of this. Did anything happen to you in your childhood?
Yeah, I saw someone die.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When I was a young boy, someone I admired very much, I would say loved.
Was it someone fast? Was it someone very fast? Was it someone who goes so very fast?
Yeah, it was.
Was it someone blue?
Yeah.
Do you want to say it?
It was Sonic the Hedgehog.
What happened?
I know what you're thinking. He died in some kind of speed-related accident, right?
I would expect. Yeah.
No. His anus burst.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah, he was diving off of a bridge into a lake, and he hit the water wrong, and water shot up his anus and burst his lower intestine, and he died.
Okay. And where did this happen?
At the Con Men All Male Acapella Show.
I'm sorry to laugh at your trauma.
I think it's resurfacing because they're actually back in town again now.
Okay.
The Con Men All Male a cappella group.
I suggest
they're
you
playing
don't
at the
go.
Windsor Public Library.
I'm so sorry to hear it.
You know, may flights of angels carry thee to thy rest, Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'm really loving this guise that I've made.
You just want
to
be him.
I want
for
to
the
be
rest
him.
Of the
yeah. I d- when you said do a German accent, I said, I don't think I can.
Yeah,
but I could. It turns out
you could.
And that was lovely. And we can use that, I think, for our guy. Do you think? Maybe it's too much.
I think we could do that. I think here's what I like about it is introducing Sonic the Hedgehog into this universe gets us like a whole bunch of pretty dedicated fans who love, and I can speak from experience here, love to do fan art about it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's some WOM right there. Mm-hmm. Word of mouth.
Word of mouth marketing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else you want to tell me before we leave? We will have to leave very, very soon.
Do you want to do Bingus Butchers?
Sure.
Real quick?
Yeah. We're Bingus
Butchers.
I just
like to catalog it.
It's a segment we do. It's called How Long That Dong?
Yeah.
Girk Jack.
How Discreet That Meat? Is that one of them?
How Sweet That Meat?
How
Discreet That Meat. We are Bingus Butchers, of course, and we don't care about how long that dong is. We're just butchers. We need to know how long it is because we need to know
we're just cataloging
to charge
it. I don't know if you watch Top Gear, Sex Bugs.
I have a friend who can't because he's afraid of.
Yeah. they have a big board where they make all the celebrities come on the show do a race, and they have a big board with everyone's names and times, and that's what we're doing.
That's
with
what we're
the
doing.
Male protagonists of these books.
Yeah, and they give us some insight into it. You want to read the passage this week?
You shouldn't do this to me, he whispered against her mouth. Huh.
They're always doing that.
Yeah. You shouldn't do this to me.
You shouldn't do this to me. Why are you whispering that in my mouth?
You shouldn't. Everything about you is absolutely wrong. And
you know
yet,
I can't hear out of this.
Kate gasped as his hands stole around her backside and pressed her harshly against his arousal.
Okay.
Do you see? He said raggedly, his lips moving along her cheek. Do you feel? He chuckled hoarsely, an odd mocking sound. Do you even understand? He squeezed mercilessly and then nibbled the tender skin of her ear. Of course you don't. So I think if you have to ask if she feels it.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
As it's pressed up against her. Yeah. I think that's probably a pretty good indicator that it's not.
It's not a
grandiose.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, that's a good point. There's a later scene where he displays himself to her and she's like, whoa. But then she reveals that she's never seen one before.
Right. She's like, what is that?
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yours goes out? Yeah.
Yeah. So spoilers for Bridgerton.
Yeah. You see, there is at least one full frontal like dick scene.
Yeah. And it's not that impressive, it sounds like. But yeah, impressive, it's not gonna be... Sorry, that was a loaded term.
We're not here to judge this, you know?
Yeah.
It's not girthy.
It's a small cut.
Yeah.
Small cut. Sometimes that's what you want.
That's what I always want.
Okay. Interesting. Fortunately, we don't have time to go into that any further. We do have to go.
Okay.
We gotta go. We gotta leave. We'd like to thank you specifically, and we, I guess it's the royal we, the Baby Nation and the Bed Pots and the Sex Bugs, would love to thank you, Tanner, so much for all the work that you do, and we don't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
And Tanner and I would like to thank you, Sex Bugs, Bed Pots, and Baby Nation for bearing with us.
Yeah.
We love and kiss you. And we would like to tell you that you must subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. For God's sake, do it now. We've got a whole new show. It's called Oh God, It's Friday. It's so much fun. The reviews are pouring in. Everybody loves it. We're watching the TGIF shows that aired starting in September of 1989 in order, one per week, one Friday per month.
One Friday per month, yeah.
So it's Full House, then it's at the moment it's Full House, then it's Family Matters, then it's Perfect Strangers, and then it's I think just the 10 of us. It's really fun. We're having a lot of fun. Now is the time, if you've been wavering on whether or not to subscribe to the Patreon, now's the time to do it. It's only $5 a month. We're having a blast in there. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
To the Sex Bugs and the Bed Pots?
Yeah. And the Baby Nation.
The Maine Library welcomes the UConn Conmen, who are the University of Connecticut's men a cappella group, on Sunday, February 27th, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Oh, perfect concert time. For a concert filled with a broad repertoire, these gentlemen have a few albums and are quite the hit.
Okay.
Free.
Okay. So that was free advertising for them.
Yeah. Thank you. Check that out.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Join the fucking Facebook group, guys. It's tons of fun in there. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone's nice and good and so very nice and so very good. And we like everyone in there, and they're all so nice and good. And we're nice and we're good and we're in there too. So join it. It's a good place.
All true.
Rate and review our show wherever you rate and review shows. Please do that. It helps us to rise in the ranking. And please recommend the show to a friend.
Yep.
We're still transitional with merch. You can... I think at merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch, but hang tight because we've got new merch coming. All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. The novel we read was The Viscount Who Loved Me, Bridgerton by Julia Quinn. Next week we're reading a little book called Beach Read by Emily Henry.
Beach Read.
It's a New York Times bestseller. It's about someone who likes reading and likes beaches and...
She likes doing it on the beach.
But it's got... Everyone says it's great. So that's what we're reading next week. Beach Read.
Yep.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been, of course, Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And we do not have an outro for the show still somehow. Do not have an outro. Don't have one. Don't have it.
No. We might be childhood friends and I might drive you out.